Welcome to the Never Stop Getting It podcast, where we take your mind out of reality, and have a little fun with life. Here's your hosts, Steve Giroux, Scott Bailey, and John Osimow.
Welcome to the Never Stop Getting It podcast, the podcast that showcases everything and anyone that never stops getting it. And today, we have a talented individual who performed shows as a legendary Frank Sinatra. I have to say, while doing research on him, it's very difficult to separate the two of them. So with that being said, I would like to introduce you to Joey Scirenza. Joey, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. This is going to be a fun episode. I can't wait. Watching your shows online, stuff like that, it's very exciting. You're very good at what you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
So with that being said, what inspired you to perform as Frank Sinatra?
I've been doing Frank Sinatra ever since I was 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So growing up as a kid, I grew up in the North End, you know, and I fell in love with that music, and it's all I ever listened to.
Okay. Yeah, that's, hey, I mean, everybody wants to perform as a hero. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always wanted to be Wade Boggs, but my baseball career wasn't that good. You know what I mean?
I hear you. And you know, and it was always a dream back then, like when I was growing up, you know, it was always a dream, you know, to do a Frank Sinatra show, to be on stage and to do what I do. And it's not a dream anymore. It's reality.
That's fantastic. So how do you prepare for performances as Frank Sinatra? Frank Sinatra.
So we do a lot of rehearsals. I have an 18-piece orchestra.
Yes.
And my orchestra is phenomenal. When I tell you something, Steve, these guys are top-notch musicians. And we had a big rehearsal last night, actually, from 7 to actually to 11. You know, and we got things we're doing actually on the 20th of April, which is next Saturday night. We have a big show coming up at Peabody, and we got things that we're doing that for the first time that we haven't done before.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
I'm so excited about it. Yeah, a lot of new products, a lot of new songs.
Oh, perfect. Well, speaking of songs, what's your favorite one to perform?
Steve, that's like asking me if I like ice cream or if I like filet mignon.
Oh, come on. There's going to be a couple at the top of the list, though.
You know what? I do have a couple of favorites, but I mean, I love every one of them. I mean, every one of them tell a story. Mm-hmm. And that's what his music is about. I mean, it's music. It ain't noise.
Right. Yes.
And when I tell you stuff, then and every single song has a meaning. It has something, a story with it, and I do it so well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you said you have an 18-piece orchestra. Where do you perform, and how much pressure is it to get there? You know what I mean? Because I'm pretty sure you're pretty far away. You're the furthest one that goes to practice.
I am. Yeah. So we go to Cumberland, Rhode Island, every Wednesday. As a matter of fact, I have another rehearsal tomorrow night, Friday. So, which is a rarity. But we want to just get this down and done, because next week, there's no rehearsals next week. Mm-hmm. I'm just resting next week.
Game time. Yeah, you got to put your game face on.
That's it.
So how long of a drive is it to get to rehearsal?
About 2.5 hours.
No, see, you're very dedicated to Frank Sinatra. I love it.
I am.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, can you share any memorable experiences you've had while performing as Frank Sinatra?
Yes, I can. I actually own, believe it or not, one of Frank Sinatra's once-worn tuxedos.
Come on.
Yes, that I got from Nancy Sinatra. I'm not going to tell you the price tag on it. I was doing a big show one night. It was over 500 people. And two nights before the show, we didn't do a dress rehearsal, but we did a rehearsal at the venue. And my orchestra leader and everything else said to me, "Joey, you got to wear that tuxedo." I'm like, "I can't wear that tuxedo. That tuxedo is Mr. Sinatra's tuxedo, you know?" And you go, no, you got to wear it. You know, so after rehearsal, everybody came to my house. And the tuxedo had already came to my house. I came like 3 days earlier. And everybody is like, can we see it? Can we see it? You know, so I go and get it. I take it out. I unzip it. And it's all embroidered on the inside of the jacket, like on the left side. Who made it? Dunhill. Made it for Frank Sinatra with the date. May 24th, I believe it was, 1994 or 1974. I forget the date exactly off the top.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, Steve, I got it that day, and I was so excited. And my wife was working. She didn't know what came. And, Steve, I tried it on. I had goosebumps. And the thing fit me like a glove.
I was going to ask. Did it fit?
Nothing. The sleeve, the jacket, the pants, the waist. It fit me like a glove. I'm like, oh my God. I was shaking. I can't tell you. I'm like, I can't believe this. Sure. You know?
Yeah. So how'd you meet Nancy? How'd that come to be?
Just like online, because we buy a lot of music from Sinatra Enterprise.
Okay.
Like everything that we have is all original. It's not karaoke. Sure. Everything is all original. Nelson Riddle, Don Costa. I mean, everything is all original orchestrated music.
There's a lot of work put into this. I love it.
A lot of work. As a matter of fact, we did a song last night for the first time, last night at rehearsal. And it was, you're familiar with the song. It's Mac the Knife.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's Sinatra's version.
Yes,
and
yes.
We did it last night. And when I tell you something, I just couldn't stop.
Yeah, I see you dancing over there. I love it. Oh, that's awesome. So how do you keep the essence of Frank Sinatra alive in your performances while you're bringing your own unique style? You know what I mean? How do you evolve the two together? Because I'm sure you're not a carbon copy. You must have your own.
I'm not a carbon copy. I don't presume to be Frank Sinatra. Although I was told by Howie Mandel from America's Got Talent,
mm-hmm.
you don't only look like him, you sound just like him.
Mm.
And, you know, which is a really great compliment coming from somebody like that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
And when I do the shows, I do not bring up Sinatra like what he did with this or with that. I bring my own style to Sinatra shows.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I have his mannerism down to a science. I mean, which is a big.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially America's Got Talent. I mean, you get something like that from Howie Mandel, a compliment like that. I mean, you take that anywhere. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
How'd that whole thing come to be?
You know what? We're waiting in the wind right now.
Oh, okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're waiting in the wind. We had two great, not rehearsals, that's the word I'm looking for here.
Auditions? The auditions?
Auditions. Thank you.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we had two wonderful auditions. And, you know, like the first one. And then they said, you know, we got to get this guy back here again. So we're waiting in the wind right now, you know, for the next one. So.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'm sure the phone call is coming. That's for sure.
I hope so.
Yes, sir. So, what kind of challenges have you faced as a Frank Sinatra, may I say, impersonator, and how have you overcome them? Because there's got to be a lot of adversity, you know?
You know what? I really don't have any. And I will tell you this. Before I get on stage, at every single show I do, everybody says to me, are you nervous? You nervous? You nervous? I'm nervous for the first minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And Steve, your first song on that stage, your first minute on that stage, if you don't give it a 1-2 punch, I better run to the men's room.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Because
I'm so blessed, Steve. Let me tell you something that I've never had a bad show.
Oh, that's awesome.
In 12 years, I mean, I am so blessed. I've never had one bad show.
What's the biggest crowd you ever performed in front of?
550.
Oh, man. I couldn't imagine being up there in front of 550 people doing anything.
The show that we're doing right here on April 20th in Peabody, that's 420. Just about sold out.
Wow. I don't know how you overcome that, but that's incredible. I mean, just standing in front of all those people, it's got to be nerve-wracking in the beginning.
It's you know, like game ready, like you said earlier.
Yep.
I get game ready. Before I go on stage, I have my entourage is all with me. And I tell them 10 minutes before the show, leave me alone. I just don't want to be bothered. I sit there, I meditate.
Get in the zone.
I just got to get in there. I just got to get right in that zone. And I do.
Yep.
And then as soon as I hear the music starting, that's it. It's like, let's go, baby.
Game time. Yeah. How was your first show? How'd that go over?
My first show went over fantastic. That was at the Chateau de Ville in Stoneham.
Yep.
And that was over 12 years ago. I mean, you know.
It's come a long way, I'm sure.
Yeah, and how it came about was, I mean, this all came about, Steve, by me and my wife had gone to a wedding. I mean, do I have a few minutes to explain it?
You get all the time you need.
So me and my wife had gone to a wedding, and, you know, and the bride's parents came to me and said to me, Joey, can you please sing a song, you know? And I said, no, it's your daughter's wedding. I'm not going to sing a song, you know. No, come on. We want you to sing a song, you know. So I'm like, no, I'm not singing a song. So they walk away. They go up to the DJ, and all of a sudden, the DJ's announcing me. Hey, we have a singer here, you know, that's going to sing us Frank Sinatra. First time. This was over 12 years ago.
Sure.
And I get up, and they wanted me to do New York, New York. So he did it, you know, he had it, and I did it. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes walking over to me, and he says to me, wow, you're fantastic. He says, when's your next show? And I said to him, tomorrow night in my shower.
Oh, that's how it all came to be. Imagine that. Something so simple, so innocent.
And I said to him, buddy, I don't sing anywhere. I mean, and he said to me, well, you should be. You know, he goes, I'm giving you my card. I want you to call me. He goes, you know, I got something coming up. And I'm like, I never called a guy, you know?
Sure.
And he found out my information from them, and he's calling me. And he says to me, he goes, I have a show coming up this weekend. And, it's, you know, and he says, I want you to sing. He says, you know, do you have a suit? I says, yeah, I got a suit, you know, you know, and he's like, you know, just bring your suit. He says, then bring all your music. I said, I don't have any music. I don't have any of this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Says, don't worry about it. He goes, yo, we'll take care of it, you know. So I did three songs that night, and he gave me $50.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Well, something, you know? Right?
and they didn't want me to get off the stage. They wanted me to keep going, but we had no more.
Sure.
So at the end of the night, he says to me, I'm on to something with you. And I says, excuse me? And he goes, I'm on to something with you. How would you like to do your own show? My own show? Mm. Who the hell knows me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And he says, we're going to get you your own show. 2 months later, he put it together. And Johnny, my very dear friend, I mean, I love him to death, Johnny Peasy, opened up for me. And it was my very first show. And Johnny sat with me and he said to me, Joey, don't be nervous. You're all set. I says, you know what, John? I'm not nervous. I says, you know, these guys are making me nervous. I'm not nervous, you know?
Sure.
And Johnny opened up in the whole nine yards, and then we came out, and it wasn't with an orchestra. It was a track show.
Sure.
And we did a whole hour. And I had rented a tuxedo that night because I didn't have to own a tuxedo.
Not many people do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So
is that how long your typical shows are? About an hour?
A little over an hour.
A little over an hour. Wow. You get a lot of stage time.
And I do about between 26 to 28 songs. No intermissions, straight through.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. And
straight through.
So is there a dinner at every one, or is there just certain ones?
There is, Steve. So every show, the show on Peabody is actually a plated meal. It's a sit-down dinner.
Wow.
They're having cocktail hour. They're having hors d'oeuvres. We have a table that I hired. I hired a magician that's going around to every single table to do table magic.
Oh.
And then my buddy Johnny Peasy is going out. You know, he's going up there for about a half hour.
Okay.
And then we have a little 10-minute intermission. And then yours truly.
Hey, nothing but fun. That's a great lineup. I'll say table magic and Johnny Peasy, of course, and then you finish it off. Yes. I love it. I love it. So that kind of leads me to my next question. How do you engage with the audience to make them feel like they're an actual Frank Sinatra concert performance?
So that's a very good question, Steve. And I'm going to tell you something. The best thing that I was taught and what I was told, do not ever lose your audience. Because
mm-hmm.
once you lose your audience, your show is done for the night. So I make sure, like, after every song, before a song and everything else, I captivate them. I talk to them. I explain to them what we're doing next. And, you know, this song's got this meaning and this song's got that meaning. You know,
sure.
And people just, they listen and, you know, and I got them and I know I got them. You know,
that's great. Hey, nothing better than getting the audience involved in the show. That's a lot of fun for them.
And you know, I do walk around. So I get off stage and while we're singing and that's so bizarre because let me tell you something. I start walking around the audience and, you know, I'm getting grabbed, pulled down, kissed on the cheek.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm getting roses. They're bringing me red roses. I mean, and it's a typical Sinatra night because fantastic. That's what they did to Sinatra. And I don't ask for this. They bring them.
Oh, that is awesome. That's awesome. So have you ever had the opportunity, besides Nancy, to meet anyone who's ever worked with Frank Sinatra? And if so, what was that experience like?
I met Frank Sinatra.
Come on. Seriously,
I opened for Mr. Sinatra in 1974 at the Boston Garden.
Are you shitting me?
I'm not shitting you.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah.
So if I remember,
my dad, God rest his soul, arranged it.
Wow. And what'd your dad do?
I'm sorry.
What'd your dad do? Was he a promoter or something?
No, my dad was a mechanic.
Oh.
My dad had a gas station in the North End. You know, because that's where we were from.
Sure.
You know. Yeah. And he was affiliated with the Boston Garter back mm-hmm. in the day. You know, he did a lot of work for them. Like, you know, so, and he had spoken to them and said, oh, my son does Sinatra, this. And they go, well, you know, here, let him go out and do a song before he goes on. I'm like,
isn't it amazing what you could do back then? You know? Yeah. So if I get my history correct, was it Frank Sinatra, the first show at the Worcester Centrum?
At the Worcester Center?
A Worcester Centrum, yeah.
You know what, Steve?
I think I was reading an article about that, and he hated that venue so much, he couldn't wait to leave.
he did, yeah. And that is so true. And, you know, then people ask me about Sinatra.
Sure.
I mean, like, because I've done so much, I've studied him so much, I did so much research on him, and, like, his hated song was Strangers in the Night.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's a good one. Fun
he
fact.
Didn't like it. Wow. He didn't like it.
Did he ever say why?
I he just didn't like it. He just, especially at the end when they were going dooby-dooby, he thought it was just corny.
Well, I could see that. Now you say it, but that's a great song. So what kind of advice would you give to aspiring performers like you that want to pay tribute to iconic figures like Frank Sinatra?
Don't give up. Go for your gut. Go for your feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And never look back.
That's good. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of study into it. You got to get back there and really study the person that you're trying to perform as.
You do. I really do. I really do. And you know, Steve, which if you don't mind me saying, it was so funny. Growing up in the North End my whole life,
sure.
I went to parochial school, which is, you know, sister school.
Absolutely.
And I was a D student. I was no A student. Let me tell you something. You know, I hated the study. I hated it. I just, you know, I used to sit there and daydream. I never studied. I just, you know, and I just winged it and I barely got by, you know. And lo and behold, now I'm like studying like music, you know. But I own over 200 Frank Sinatra songs.
Wow.
You know, and I have them all in my head. Like if all the lyrics to every song, like I know.
It's a steel trap up there.
I'm sorry?
Steel trap up there.
Wow. And it's like, you know, and it's like, you know, so funny because my band leader last night made a comment last night because we had a photographer there. And the photographer asked him, he goes, so how long does it take him to learn these songs? And he says, I have no idea. All I got to do is tell this guy we're doing this song and it's there. He knows word for word. There's no mistake.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, just to remember all those songs. You do 20 plus songs a night, and you just got to remember which ones are coming. So do you memorize the lineup of your songs, or you just wait for the music to start playing?
Both.
Yeah?
Huh. Both. The show that we got coming up on the 20th, we put the playlist together last night, which is 27 songs. And we didn't completely put them in order yet, which it doesn't matter to me. I'll let my orchestra leader, Dave, he does that.
Awesome.
So I know what we're starting with. I know what we're finishing with.
Okay, yep.
You know, I mean, like how it goes in line, it doesn't matter to me. When he starts playing something, I just know and we just go with it.
Fantastic. That's great. So what are your future plans and goals as being a Frank Sinatra performer?
Steve, I'm going for the gold, buddy.
Nice. That's what I like to hear. Get fully, you know, booked.
As long as I could keep making people smile and be happy with my music and with the music of Sinatra, that's all that matters to me, because there's nothing like that type of music. You know, the music that you hear today is nothing. It's noise.
Sure. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's fill that calendar, right? You got to have a full calendar. That'll be the best way to do it. Yeah.
We do.
All right. So tell me, what do you have coming up in that? What do you want to promote? Where can everybody find you? Like on social media, things like that.
So on social media, yes. You know, so our website is The Music of Sinatra, starring Joey Chiarenza, you can go right on my Facebook page or my Instagram page, and it's the same and so forth. But the show in Peabody we have coming up this coming Saturday night, not this coming Saturday, right. I apologize,
next
the 20th.
One. Yep.
It's sold out. And, you know, I would love to say, you know what, bring everybody, keep them coming, you know. They have a fire audience, you know, fire audience, you know, and they just can't, you know, we're at 420 or 440 people.
Yeah. Well, you got to make sure you don't have out too much pyro.
Yeah. But we have a following show on the following Sunday, the 28th, and that's at the Sons of Italy in Quincy at 120 Quarry Street. And that's a great show. It's a buffet dinner. It starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it ends at 7, which is a great time because it gives a lot of people, you know, that can't make the late shows.
Absolutely. Work the next day. Sure.
Right. So, you know, we did this for them. So those tickets are $65. And then if the seniors, we're doing $50 for a senior with the dinner.
Oh, perfect. That's great for them. I'm sure. And they, nobody loves Sinatra more than the seniors. I can tell you that.
Steve, we have, so I was told, believe it or not, that there's a lot of 20 to 30-year-old people coming to this show in Peabody, which it's very, I'm very happy. I'm very glad to see that, that people are enjoying this music.
Sure. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. All right, Joey. Well, thank you for being on the podcast and best of luck to you with all your upcoming shows, buddy. And I'm definitely going to get out there to see you.
And may I add,
absolutely,
the phone number for the April 28th show?
Yeah. Do it up.
Sure. It's 617-762-1997.
Perfect. Yeah. We'll make sure we get that out. We'll be posting everything on our Facebook and Instagram as well. So. We're going to promote the shit out of this for you.
Thank you, buddy. And I hope I see you on the 20th or the 28th. You come as I get, please.
Absolutely. I'm going to talk to your wife tonight when she gets out of work, and I'll be in contact with you.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to wrap this up. Stay on the line. I'll talk to you afterwards. All right. So, and that's a wrap for today's episode. Feature Joey Terenza, channeling the legendary Frank Sinatra with his timeless tunes and charismatic charm. Thank you for tuning in and experiencing the magic of the Rat Pack era with us. Remember, those who never give up are the ones that truly achieve greatness. Thank you for tuning in to the Never Stop Getting It podcast, where we celebrate those who never stop chasing their dreams. And until next time, stay tuned for more unforgettable moments, and of course, never stop getting it.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Never Stop Getting It podcast. And join the community on Facebook, Never Stop Getting It, and Twitter at Never Stop Getting It. And of course, neverstopgettingit.com.